Rabbosai, today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei, and we got up to, we're on Pei Omed Aleph already, and we got up to Itmar, Shitufei Mavo'ot. It's about, let's say, a fifth of the way down. So Itmar, Shitufei Mavo'ot, Rav Amar Ein Tzarich Lezakot, V'Shmuel Amar Tzarich Lezakot. So you'll recall, oh boy, look at this, we got Jeff back in. Oh, how do we keep him? That's the problem. There's no way like to shoot someone and then to make sure that he remains stuck, right? It's not like fishing. Zoom doesn't allow you to reel in the fish. All right. So yesterday we were discussing the issue of how you could go about being mezakeh the Eruv. If you want to give everybody a little bit of the food in your barrel, and you don't want to run around collecting from every individual. So we spoke about being mezakeh in the Mishnah, Ayyadei Bonav, or Bito, Agdalim, or Ayyadei Ishto, if she has her own Rishus in the Chotzer, as the Gemara says elsewhere. And you have to be Magbiah. Those people are going to be mezakeh. Zocha for others have to be Magbiah. Yesterday we discussed how much to be Magbiah. We can't be Magbiah Tefach. Question whether that's true about every Hakabar. It's a special kula by Eruvim. But in any event, you definitely needed to be mezakeh. Now, we have essentially many different types of Eruvim, right? We have Eruv Chatzeros, we have Shituv Mavos, we have Eruv Etchumim, and we have Eruv Tafshilin. So the question is this concept of being mezakeh to the other individual. I mean, normally we say that if something is a zechut for a person, and l'chora, I mean, it's very useful for somebody to be able to carry around, so you can do that without having their knowledge of it in advance, or the acquiescence to it, because Zorchen Lodom Shalom Befonav. And the question would be whether you actually need the act of being mezakeh in all of these cases. Somebody has to actually pick it up, which of course we do, as you, all of us, of course, do that all the time with the Eruve. We're not personally Isaac in the Eruv Tchumim usually, or the Sheet of Mavoz, which is done by the Rabbanut HaMekomit, but everybody makes the Eruv Tafshilin on their own. And over there, indeed, we give it to someone and we tell them to pick it up and to be Zoche. That is what we're talking about over here in terms of formal ownership. So the question over here is, what is the din in all of these cases? Is this every single Eruv that we make? Or is this a special halacha that we spoke about in our Mishnah, where we were talking about the Eruvim of the Movoi, the Shituv of the Mavos? So today we're going to explore this a little bit. And Itmar, Shitufei Mivaot. So when it comes to the Shituv Mavos, which the Mishnah said that you absolutely do have to go ahead and to be mezakeh. Surprisingly, Rav says, no, you don't. Ein tzarich lezakos. Not very clear where Rav came off saying kineged the Mishnah, but he does. Now, at this point, we're assuming that the issue over here would be Rav having a right, being a Tana, to be chaylik on the Mishnah. We're going to see in the Gemara whether there is actually machlokes tanoim about this. But in any event, Rav says there's no need to be mezakeh. Shmuel says absolutely there is. Eruvei Techumim, on the other hand, so Rav says over there, you do need to be mezakeh each person. So, I mean, because everybody's Eruv Techumim is completely unrelated to everybody else's. And therefore, if you're talking about being mezakeh to someone in an Eruv that is going to affect me, I mean, we could say that, why would you need a kinyan? Remember, kinyan is necessary where you're doing something that is always a loss to you on some level. So you're losing your food. So, okay, there needs to be a kinyan. I mean, because we don't have a gemar dat without a kinyan. But over here, I'm giving away my food because if I don't have that Eruv, I am stuck. I'm not going to be able to go outside with my things. I'm not going to be able to make a picnic. I can't go out with my kids and carry them in the carriage, whatever. So it's certainly a dover that we would say is given, that Anan Sahade, we know that this guy really desperately wants these people to be Zoche. So therefore, Tainas Rav, I don't need to have any formal act of Kenyan because the very fact that it's Nogei Ami is clear that I merely mean this. But when it comes to Eruve Tchumim, I'm doing you a favor. I mean, your Tchum doesn't help me. If I want to make an Eruv for myself, I make an Eruv for myself. So over there, you would need to be Mezaka. And there, Dafka, Shmuel says, no, actually, you do not need to be Mezaka, which is a little bit strange. Why would you not need to be Mezaka? According to Shmuel, I mean, it ought to be, for sure, you do need to be Mezaka. Why would it be different than the Sheet of Mavoz? Tosfos has a number of different possibilities that he discusses over here. One is that there is no Kenyan in terms of my Rishus that is involved. In other words, in the Sheet of Mavoz, what we want to do is we want to achieve my semi-ownership in your Rishus, right? So the idea over there is there's no kinyan of anyone else's rishus in Tchumim. But when it comes to the mixing of rishuyas in the eruvim of the Tchum, of the chotzer and of the mavoi, over there I definitely do, in a sense, have rights to your area. So that requires a kinyan. Or perhaps, as Tosis, maybe the eruve Tchumim, since it's always done for dvar mitzvah, as we've seen many times, so that we understand that people really want to help people out when it comes to a dvar mitzvah. Mashenkin, that's not true when it comes to the Sheet of Mavoz and so on. And there's also another issue, and that is, of course, a tchum you can't force on anybody, right? Because, I mean, he's losing. If you give him a tchum to the east, he's losing a tchum to the west. So if that's the case, I need to ask him. I can't just assume he wants the tchum in that direction. So because of that, his response to my asking him is in and of itself sufficient. That interchange is sufficient to be the equivalent of a zichia, which I don't have over here when I'm talking about the Sheet of Mavoz. Oh, so you can see the different studim over here between Rav and Shmuel. Now, when it comes to the Mishnah, Shmuel makes heck of a lot of sense, all right? Because Shmuel is saying, in this case, what did the Mishnah say? We're talking about Sheet of Mavoz in our Mishnah, and the Mishnah said that when it comes to Sheet of Mavoz, or as Rashi says, Eruv Chatzeros, which is the same thing, so we're not makpid on what name we're going to use, because we're using the same dinim over here. So the Mishnah says, Beferish, here, Tzorech Lezakos. So Shmuel says, okay, Tzorech Lezakos. In the case of Eruv Tchumim, which we'll see later on, how are you ma'ariv Eruv Tchumim? The Mishnah does not say it's Tzorech Lezakos. So because of that, he's very consistent with the Lashon of the Mishnah. But according to Rav, like, he's going against the Beferish Mishnah here, and he's going against what appears to be the Mishnah later, because the Mishnah didn't say Tzorech Lezakos, and he is saying Tzorech Lezakos. So that's really weird. I mean, you could say that Rav holds that later on, the Mishnah didn't really say Beferish, you don't need. So maybe he understands that you do need for Erev Tchumim, and that even though he didn't say anything, maybe that Tana assumed that we would learn that out from our Mishnah, that you do need to be Mezaka, and he would assume that that would apply over here. Now, this is because, as we're going to see later on, Rav is a Talmud of Rav Chiya, and that's how Rav Chiya defined that Mishnah later. In which case, it turns out that it would be a Machlokas Tanoim, and Rav would have a right to be Semech on that. Okay, we'll see. But Rashi doesn't understand that way. Rashi understands that Rav, at this point, that Rav is a Tana, and he doesn't have anybody that is going to help him in this case. When it's the Sheet of Mavoz, it's his own Sheetah. That we have to see later. Okay, anyway, so Shmuel makes sense, but like, what is Rav doing? Well, Rav learns that Eruv Tchumim is actually a Machlokas Tanoim, as I just explained. The Omer of Yudah Omer Rav, Ma'aseh Bekalatosh Rabbi Hoshaya Shalchala Beit HaMerchatz V'Chashchala. So Rav Hoshaya's daughter-in-law had gone to a mikveh, and it was outside of the Tchum, and she went before Shabbos, and she thought she would have enough time to get home, and it turned out it was getting dark, she still hadn't come home, and she was outside of the Tchum. So her mother-in-law was very nervous that she wasn't going to make it back. So she went out and she made an Erev without asking her, obviously, before Shabbos. And that way, at least, she would be able to come home. She wouldn't be stuck in the mikveh the whole Shabbos. So Irva Lachamota. And then they came and they asked Reb Chiya, who was Rav's Rebbe. And Reb Chiya said, no, you can't use this Erev. It's no good. And it's basically, as we'll see, that's what Rebbe was relying on. So Amarlo Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, to Rabbi Chiya. You know, Rabbi Chiya, you guys from Bavel, all you know is how to be machmir. I mean, ridiculous, bavloiko, kachata machmir be'eravin. I can tell you that my father, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi is nimuko imo, and we always pasket like him. My father said, if you can find a kula by eravin, then do the kula, man. That's what he held. Kol sheyesh kolaka by eravin akel. If you got any opportunity, like we saw before, Balochas Kedivri Amekel, Be'erevin, the whole thing is Durabonin, and it's like such a stretch, be Mekel. So you should have allowed her to come back and said that the Erev was perfectly good. Now, why did Reb Chiya say the Erev wasn't good? So over there, they wanted to know, was it because the food belonged to the mother-in-law and she didn't ask anybody else to be Zocha in that food? And so that would mean that the reason would be because an Erev Tchomim requires Zechia, like Rav, and over here, there was no Zechia. And if that's where Reb Chiya held, so then we understand why Rav said that way. Or actually, maybe it was because they used her own food, but they didn't ask her. And because of that, we say that normally the Mishnah says, obviously, you can't make an Erev Tchumim for somebody without his das, because how do we know that he wants to lose the Tchum on the other side? But, I mean, over here, I mean, unless she wasn't getting along too well with her mother-in-law, was hoping to get stuck outside of the Tchum, you know? So, I mean, maybe her mother-in-law should have gotten her consent, and then she didn't have to answer her phone, and then she would have been stuck out there. Oh, dear, what a shame, Mom. I really wanted to come home. So maybe that was the problem, you know? And in which case, it wouldn't have anything to do with Rav's psak over here. Amar lemahumin rabbonim v'Rabbi Yaakov shmei, I could tell you that Rabbi Yochanan, I heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the maisa was that the mother-in-law had used her own food, but she didn't think she needed to be mezakah her, because the Mishnah didn't say that you needed to be mezakah when it came to Eruv Tchumim. And because of that, Rabbi Chiya said, well, you do need to be mezakah. And that was basically what Rav was relying on. And he said, you really do need to have the zechus. And you could see that that's true because Rabbi Zera asked a favor of Rabbi Yaakov, who was the son Barah of Bat Yaakov. His father was not a good person. We don't quote his father. And he was going to be heading out to Eretz Yisrael. So before he headed out, he said, look, when you get there, Kimatita, I'd like you to take the long way around, okay? So go through Akivazila Soma Datsur. I want you to go around the area of Soma Datsur, where there's now that beautiful, the railroad tunnel, you know, into Lebanon, and the nice cable car in Rosh HaNikra. So that's where Rav Yaakov Aridi lived. So do me a favor and go the long way around. Stop in at Rabbi Yaakov Aridi's house and ask him what actually happened over there. Whose food was it? So he went, and he asked Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, and he asked him, was the Erev made with the mother-in-law's food, and the problem was because of Lozichta, or was it because we didn't ask her if we could make the Erev, even though it was from her own food, but it was Shalomi Daita, and that was the problem? And Rabbi Yaakov Aridi told him, no, I know the story. The story was that they used the mother-in-law's food. The problem was that there was no Zechia, and Rabbi Chiya holds you need to have Zechia, and that's basically what Rav was saying. So therefore, it turns out to be a machlokas between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and that was the conversation between them. And Rav was going, Aliba de Rabbi Chiya. And Rav always goes, Aliba de Rabbi Chiya. Reb Nachman, basically we have a Kabbalah. Every single type of Erev that we've spoken about so far, which is Eruv Etchumim, Eruv Chatzeras, Sheet of Mavos, all of it needs to have Zechia to the other person so that we paskin like the Chumra of both Rav and Shmuel. What I don't have a Kabbalah on, which I'd like to know, is what's the name of an Erev Tafshilin? Does an Erev Tafshilin need for me to be mezakeh that food that indicates that you're going to be semich on this as if we're cooking for Shabbos and as if we're cooking for Yontev or not? Oh, ain't tzarich l'zakot. Says Rav Yosef, I don't get it. Like, didn't he know? Umayti boile. Rav Nachman bar Avada quoted Shmuel about this, and Shmuel said, you need zechiah for Erev Tafshilin like everything else. Tzarich l'zakot. says Abiah to him, well, obviously he didn't know. He didn't hear it. If he had heard it, why in the world would he have asked? There's no reason for us to assume that he would have argued. Says Rav Yehuda, well, I don't understand. He argued on Shmuel when it came to Eruv Etrumim. And Shmuel said that the idea over there is you do not need, and indeed the Tana of the Mishnah didn't say you need, and he was consistent with Tana of the Mishnah. And he argued on him. Rav Nachman said, even though I know that Shmuel said that, I don't believe it's true. I think you do need to be mezaka like Rav. The Omar Iyud Tzarech Lezaka, so maybe he did know what Shmuel said. He wanted to know what the din was. I mean, he's not a chuyif to accept Shmuel's psak and everything. Says, Abaye, what are you talking about? I mean, by Shmuel, of course, over there in that case, there was a big machlokas, right? That was the machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, and that was the whole issue. I mean, so it's certainly very possible that Rav Nachman was going like the chumrah, both of Rav and the chumrah of Shmuel, because that's what Rav Nachman does. But Mashenkin over here, we don't have anybody that says differently. Did you ever hear of anybody that says that an Erev Tavshilin does not require Zechiah? Mi'ikaman de Pollock. If he had heard that Shita of Shmuel, why in the world would Rav Nachman go out of his way to say no? There is certainly no such Man D'Omer that anybody ever heard of. Okay, now the Shaila is, what we've been talking about until now, is the question of Zechiah. Now the Shaila of whether we need consent, that's a different issue. So suppose somebody is trying to really mess up the neighborhood. This guy is furious because he wanted to go for a tema, and the other neighbors refused to go for a tema. So he said, okay, I'm going to teach you guys. I'm not going to join in any Erev Hashitav. You guys won't be able to carry until you agree to go for a rebuilding project, okay? So he's using his power over here to force everybody into a terrible situation. We're not going to be able to use their chutzah or their mavoi. So what's the issue? Anyway, so they used to appoint these Tarzans, and the official Tarzan position was that he was the weapons master. So he took care of all of the things that had to do with fighting and so on. That's why they called him a Tarzan. So there was this Turzina that he lived in Rebbe Zera's neighborhood. And he was a goy, appointed by the government. And so they asked him, okay, we need to rent your rishos, because he lived with them. And he refused. So they couldn't make the Erev, obviously. So they came to Rebbe Zera, and they asked him, would we be allowed to sneak around and talk to his wife, you know? I mean, we could get her to rent out the zechus. So what would be the din? So he said to them, well, Reish Lakish said, and he quoted a very great man, I'm referring to Rabbi Hanina, that an ishtar shalodem ha-revet shalom idato. So a person's wife can join up with her and her family by giving her husband's food even without the husband's personal knowledge. And even, as we'll see, there's sometimes, even if he says befeir she doesn't want. So, and we're going to see later on that it depends what the situation is. If this is an emergency situation where he's going to be asering on everybody, remember, some Erevin, not non-participation, will aser everybody, right? Some Erevin will limit but not aser. I'm not saying you want to join the Erev with the next door chatzer. Okay, that's a whole different issue. Or let's say you've got two mevaot, one on either side of your chatzer. So, I mean, you don't have to join in one particular side as opposed to the other side if you don't want to. But in cases, there's only one mavoi. So then you are going to aser on everybody. Okay, so there is going to be a difference, as it turns out, in between cases where this is an emergency measure to allow people to be able to have an Erev or Shitov, and cases where this is a convenience. So then we're going to see that if the husband objects, there are certain circumstances where she could not go against what he wants. And there was another mice also with some other Tarzan guy who was living in Reb Yehuda Bar Oshia's neighborhood. And there too, they asked him to be Oger Lon Rishusa, and he refused. And there they went to Reb Yehuda Bar Oshaya, and they said, are we allowed to rent from his wife? He didn't know. So then they went to Rav Masna, they asked him, he didn't know either. So then they all came to review it to find out what the halacha would be. And he said, Shmuel says, Ishta shel adam ha'arevet shelo midaato. So over here, you could sort of sneak into the back door and get his wife to rent it out to you. Now, this points out, remember we had before another case of a guy that refused. And remember the eights that we had over there is one guy should get close to him and ask if we could leave his lawnmower in the garage. And then that would be Lakito Vizchiro. And even a Lakito Vizchiro can rent out Rishus. So why don't we bring a riot from there that even a Lakito Vizchiro, so why not his wife? So Tosef says the truth is we could have brought that case, but we'd rather have a case of an actual, where it's his actual wife, because there's other issues. You know, a wife maybe is assumed to go along with her husband if he finds out about it and so on. Anyway, so we wanted to have a raya from the wife. So the Gemara asks like this. It says, Beferish in a Braita, that this isn't true. It says, Nashim that if women go ahead and they don't have the rishus of their husbands, and they went and they joined, it's useless. The Erev is not a good Erev. The Shitav is not a good Shitav. So over here it's saying that you cannot do this without the das of the husband. Answers the Gemara, as we indicated before, there's a difference. Because Lokasha, the case that we're talking about, that she is in fact able to join without her husband, that's where she would be ossering on everybody from carrying if she didn't join. So the Chachomi made a special takana that in order to prevent somebody from being able to hold all his neighbors over a barrel, like this case where the guy didn't want to let anybody to carry, so then they would allow alternatives. Same thing would be true of a goy. If a goy is holding everybody over the barrel with the case of the Tarzan guy. So over there also, they allowed a schirut that was done against his will. Masha Ein Kein, the case where the Braisa says that it's not doing any good, that's talking about where she wasn't answering anybody if she didn't join. So let's say there were two mava'ot, one on either side of the chatzar. They didn't use that mavoi. So then it's not going to answer other people. They used the other mavoi. It's very reasonable, says the Gemara, that Ochinami Mistavra, that when Shmuel said, we were asking Shmuel from the Braisa, when Shmuel said that she can do it without her husband's rishus, that makes sense that it's only where she's ossering. Because if it isn't, the Im Kein, if you're going to tell me that Shmuel allows her to join up even where she's not causing any problems for the neighbors and she could still ignore her husband, so then we would have a contradiction in Shmuel. It would be a kasha, the Shmuel, a Shmuel. What would be the kasha? Because Shmuel said elsewhere that in a case where you have echad mibnei amavui, Shiragil lehishtatef. Now note the word shiragil. A member of a mavui who always generally would be mishtatef in this particular mavui, in b'nei mavui. And this week he did not join in the mavui. And therefore he wanted, bedafka, Rashi learns, he bedafka wanted to aser everybody else. He was angry at them. And since this is his mavui, he would aser it. So in that case, b'nei mavui nichnasim l'toch beito, v'notlim shitufan mimenu, Baal Korcho. Over there, you can actually go and force him to collect it. It's a machlokas whether this means only with his wife's permission, which is the way Tosfos learns, or other learn that it actually, if he's always rogil to this particular mavui, and over here he bedavka doesn't join, that then we can even break into his house and take the food without anybody's rishus because of the fact that he's utilizing the mechanism of Erev in order to hurt the neighbors. And the whole point of the Erev is in order to increase the level of the interrelationship of the neighbors. Okay, that's a separate machlokas. So anyway, you see over here that Shmuel used the word ragil. Now, why did Shmuel use the word ragil in this psak? Because that's the point. He was only being matir the wife to participate without the rishus of the husband in a case where the husband would always have joined that particular mavui, but and therefore that was his shitov. But if it wasn't ragil, and if it wasn't ragil, it means that he wouldn't aser the other people because he was using the mavui on the other side. So as he does not join the shitov, then the wife didn't allow her to do anything against it. So, but that's only where he said, I don't want to join it. If he didn't say anything, then Shmuel, even in that case, would allow him to join. So Shema Amino, you see that we were right. And there is a major difference between cases where she's going to be assering if she doesn't join, where it's his Rogel Shitov, and cases where she doesn't asser. Anyway, let's see if we can bring a riot to Shmuel now from the Braisa instead of a kasha from the Braisa, because it says you can actually force a member of one of the chatzeros that has this mavui, it uses with this mavui, you can force him to pay for a building project and make a lechi or a korah for that mavui. So, I mean, it appears that you can actually, if it's going to mean that other people are not going to be able to carry, so then we can actually force a guy to participate. So probably that's the idea over here also, that in a case, if we're not going to be able to carry there, such as the Shitov would have normally included him, and he's the this is his only mavui, so then if that's the case, it means we could probably force him to join the Shitov also, right? If we could force him into a construction project, says the Gemara. No, that doesn't follow at all. I mean, it's very different. If you don't have a lechi or a korah in the mavui, so over there, there are no mechitzas. In other words, Rashi learns, this mavui appears to be very open, and therefore it's inviting ganavim in. And people are like reluctant to even leave a bike out there in the mavui, because I mean, there's nothing to indicate that it's a private rishus. I mean, anybody just turns in, there's like it's just like an open road. If I put a korah across the top, and I have a lechi down the side. Okay, so then people say, oh, this is clearly private property. That would be like posting a sign, no trespassing, you know. But like this, it's not. That's how Rashi learns. So it helps to give it a sense of privacy, and therefore it has nothing to do with the dinim of whether you're allowed to carry particularly. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns, no, that's not the point. The point is that there's a major difference, is there not, between not being able to carry in the mavui proper versus not being able to carry from the chotzer into the mavui. I mean, those are two different things. I mean, over here, if you don't have a lechi or a korah, so you can't carry at all. You're not able to even be in the mavui and carry things that are in the mavui, move something from one part of the mavui to the other. I mean, so over there, you don't have any mechitzas, so then it makes sense that we could force them to do the basics that don't necessarily mean you can carry from the chotzer to the mavui. So that makes sense, says Tosfos. Okay, this Lishna Achrina, the Bach takes out completely. There's a lot of discussion because it doesn't make any sense on the surface. There's some kind of problem with the Girsa. The Groz Girsa is Lishna Achrina, the Bezdin Shine, that over there we're talking about taking him into court and the court can force it. Okay, in any event, we won't worry about these extra words and we'll stick with the Bach. Itma. Ribchia bar Ashi Amar. Osin lechi asherah. Let me get into just a side question, because we had discussed before whether you can use an asherah as a petach. So now my question is, can you use an asherah to be a lechi for a mavui? And Reish Lakish says, so Reb Chiya Bar Ashi says, yes, you can, to make it a lechi. And Reish Lakish says, you can make a korah out of an asherah. Now, if you say you can make a korah, then you could certainly make a lechi. Remember that a lechi can be anything. A lechi doesn't even have a shear. A korah has a shear. It's got to be the ariach and has to be able to support it and so on. A lechi could be just like almost a strip of tape that, as long as it's not going to be blown off, is even a mashu. So the mandi on my lechi, he would say, not a korah. Why not a korah? Very interesting idea. This idea is called ktuti michtat shiure. Ktuti michtat shiure means anything that is omed lisreifa is, for all intents and purposes, burned. Burned, not really burned in the sense of not being there, but burned in the sense of not having any chashivut for a shir. So since the asherah exists, it is therefore good for the lechi. But since it doesn't have a shir, and a korah does require a shir, mitzad adin, you can't use an asherah that is without a shir, without a legal shir, no matter how big it is. It doesn't have the chashivas of the shir, and therefore he would say, for the korah, you can't use it. Why? Because kituti michtat shiure, its shir has been ground down, so to speak, by the need to burn it into nothing. And now we are ready for Sir Richard.
No. Hey.
very holy indeed. Not stam that Zoom put the Rebbe's picture directly above the Helik HaTalisker, at least on my screen. Okay, nitmaya to ochel. So now, we don't even know how much food you need, and we're going to be getting to this in a minute, how much food do you need. In classic Mishnah approach, we get to the things that we're assuming you know only at the end, where we formalize your knowledge of it. But whatever that shear is, if you don't have enough food, and it happened before Shabbos, so now, oh my gosh, you come and you check, and there's not enough food to be able to support the Erev in there for the number of people that you have, and we'll see you need a certain amount of food per person under certain circumstances. You can add food before Shabbos, and you could be mezakeh that new food, and you do not need to tell anybody, even if you're using their own food, you don't need to tell them, because they already gave their haskama. They said, I want to have the Erev, I want to donate to the Erev. Okay, so fine. So if a squirrel got into the food and ate it up or something, so we assume that we still have your permission and we're able to continue to do it. How about, however, if more people moved into the chutzar, moved into a chutzar, which opened into the mavoi before Shabbos, and now we don't have enough to cover everyone. So you could add your own food and be mezakeh it to them. But if you want to use their food, you need to be modia them, because the halacha is, we saw before, if a guy can't afford the food, or if he is like reluctant to allow other people to eat his food, and that was the question that Abaya said, look, I can't afford to have people eating my stuff. So because of that, I had no way of making this, and I certainly don't have time to go around banging on people's doors to ask them. So over here, we need to know that they are fully into this idea, because you really have to be willing to share. Therefore, you have to be modia them, and otherwise, it won't be good. All right, we're going to see that there is a big difference between asking Rishus and Modia. And let me just give you a heads up on this issue, which we're going to be getting to. There's two possible situations. There's a situation where there's only one Mavoi that your Chotzer has access to, in which case there's no need for us to have to ask you anything, because why would you be reluctant to be able to use your Mavoi? So what we do need to do is get your permission to take your food, but we don't need your askama to the etzem idea, because it's kulo l'schus. But what about if there's two mavois, one on either side of your chatzar, and if you hold that the use of one of those mavois will prevent you from making a shituf with the other mavoi, so then we obviously are going to have to ask you which one you want, and if you have your choice, then we need to have your askama before, right? So that's how the Rambam understands the situation, that when it says Lodiyah, it's talking about their haskama, not as far as the food is concerned. So even if I'm giving you my food, I still need your haskama, according to the Rambam. Anyway, when we're talking about the food, and we're talking about the food becoming less than the amount required, what is the amount required? Kama yishura. Well, it depends. If there's a lot of people, which we're leaving up now, we're not defining what that is. If there's a lot of people that are part of this Erev, then you would need to have for one person, not for each person, but for all of them together, 100 people, you would need to have the equivalent of two seudas. That's the defined in the same way we talked about tchumim. The two seudas don't have to be full seudas with cholent and bread and so on and so forth. You could just use the cholent. The amount of cholent that you would normally eat if you were eating it with bread, or just use the wine, the amount that you would be drinking, so on, like we had before. So you need to have that for all the people, one portion for each meal, which means two portions. If you have very few people, then you give the one grogeret, that's that dried fig, for each individual. And Rabbi Yossi says, this idea of needing a certain amount of food is only where you're collecting the Erev and it hasn't gone into effect yet. If the Erev went into effect, that's called the Tchilat Erev. If you're talking about the Shiyorei Erev, so the Erev already went into effect, and now a raccoon got in there and ate the food. So then it doesn't matter. As long as anything is left, kol shehu, anything is left that is sufficient. And besides which, the only reason, remember, that we would need Bichlal to make an Erev in a Chotzer where people have already joined in Shitav Mavoz is in order for the kids to remember. Remember? So therefore, we wouldn't even need the chotzer. The only reason that we said do the chotzer also is because the children would grow up not realizing that there is such an idea. So because of that, they said, okay, so if something happened to the Erev after you put it in the chotzer, the Zarash learns, in the chotzer, because over there, once we already collected, who cares? We don't really need it. So we're learning that this is talking about the chotzer specifically, the way Rashi understands it. The problem is that there are times where we do not require the chotzer to join at all if there is a sheet of mavoz, because what we understand over here is that if Rabbi Yossi is saying that this is the only thing, and that the lo amru la'arev chatzeros would have nothing to do with the previous discussion, because we're not talking about a case of a chatzer where you already have the sheet of. Remember that the way that we do things nowadays is that we use the same food for both the Eruv and the Shitav. We have everybody give, like the Ramah brings, you know, bringing, using flour and then making the food, baking something from all of that flour that we collected from everyone. Anyway, if that's true, then based on Rashi, the heter of Rabbi Yossi would no longer be true. And some of the Peskim say that. Because if Rashi is correct, then we wouldn't say lo amru la'arev b'chatzeros ela kedei, because we're using the same food. So if it was mismaya, then we would need to actually recollect it. We couldn't be semich on it bizman hazeh. Okay, in any event, before we get into the details of this, let me just figure out what is the Mishnah talking about. I mean, are we using the same food that we had initially? Let's say everybody had given in some cholent. So now we're going to be taking more cholent. Is that the issue? I mean, even if the cholent was completely eaten by the raccoon, you would be able to take more cholent because everybody was already maskim to give cholent. So my Aaron is my, even if it was completely gone, as we'll see. So it's got to be talking about that we don't want to add cholent. Now we want to add kishka. So now if the shaila is, we didn't ask, and there's two different types of food, so then if we're going to be taking even a little bit just to make up for what's missing, then we should require them to know about it and to be maskim. Because it says in a braita that if the food was gone, kola, was completely used up, this food, and it's the same food, then you don't have to tell anybody. But if it's two separate foods, it is necessary to tell anybody. Now, we're assuming that when it says it was all used up, it's the same with even if it was nismayit, right? Says the Gemara, no, not right. I could learn it either way. I could say that in the Mishnah is talking about the same kind of food, or I could say the Mishnah is talking about two different kinds of food, and it still works out perfectly well, because I could say we're talking about the same kind of food. And the word nitma'et does not mean nitma'et. It means mitmatmet. It means it was completely kaput. And it was kola, and now I'm making a brand new Erev. If I'm making, a brand new Erev, so then I would need to ask, even if it's the same. Or I could say it's talking about two different foods. And the only reason the Braita said that I need to ask is because I'm using the different kind of food where it was kola. But if it wasn't kola, it wasn't completely gone, it was only nitma'et, you could even use a different food. So the Mishnah is no indication one way or the other. So that's not a problem. Okay. Now, the question is like this. New people come along. So then I have to ask, all right, Omer of Shizbi, Omer of Chista, from here you see that Rabbi Yehuda's Chaverim, later on, argue with him in this Mishnah. Because it says in the Mishnah there, that Bamed Dvarim Amurim, where do we need to give your Rishos? That's Davka Be'eruve Techumim, because you're going to be losing out on the other direction. But by Erev Chatzeres, we don't need your permission at all. So then Rav Yehuda is going against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says we need to ask these people that move in, and do they want to join the Shitav? Says, well, obviously, I mean, what are you telling? You're telling me I don't know how to read? Of course. Shita the Chaluk. The Mishnah says, Beferish, you need to ask permission. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need to ask permission. No. And here's where the Rambam kicks in. Because I might have thought that when we're saying this in the Mishnah, that you need to ask permission, it's talking about a chotzer that is between two mivaot, where you have to choose which mavoi you want to join. And then you're allowed to carry into that mavoi, but you're not allowed to carry into the other mavoi. So that's the same as tchumim, because if I join one, then I lose out on the other one. And that would mean that I have to ask him. Fine. Now, that's one approach. There's another approach. The other approach is that even according to the Maad Yomer, we'll see, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you have your rights to use both mavuis, you do not have to choose only one, we still have to ask permission. Because what we might want to do is not have access to both. Why would we want not to have access to both? Because if we don't have access to both, we have less traffic. If we have access to both, then you can walk through from one side, cut across to the other side, and it may be that some of the neighbors don't like the traffic walking through the commons. So because of that, you have to ask them, and it's not nogea making a choice. Okay, two very different approaches, but in any event, there's obviously a big difference between a chotzer that has two mavos, or a chotzer that only has one mavoi, where over there you're really messed up if you didn't join. So I would have thought that emalo, maybe you don't need to ask. Kamashmalan, therefore, comes along Rib Shizvi to say the way to understand our Mishnah, the Bamed Dvarim Amurim, is making it very clear. It's talking about only one mavoi, and it's going against Rav Yehuda. And when we say kamahi shiuro, so, I mean, that's explaining something? When there's a lot, when there's a little, what's a lot and what's a little? I don't understand. Define it for me. What do you mean by a lot? Says Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said it's 18 people. What do you mean? Oh, you mean only 18 people? But if it's more than that, then you have to do something else? No. From 18 people up. Where'd you pick that out of a hat, 18 people up? It's very simple, says Rav Yehuda. I heard it from my own father, from Rav Yehuda, who explained it to me, that the point is whatever comes first is good. So if you have the amount of people that are going between their minimal contribution, which would be the gro geret, they would get 18 gro groat, then you already have two su'udas, because that's the shear of two su'udas. If you have less than the shear of two su'udas, then that by definition means you have less than 18 people that are contributing gro groat. So then you don't need 18 gro groat. So in other words, whatever is less, 5 gro groat for 5 people, or 18 gro groat for 1,000 people, is essentially what the Mishnah is saying. So it's very simple. If you would split up the meal and you wouldn't get one gro geret for each one, so then you're a merubin. That's the definition of merubin. And wherever, and there you don't need more, so you can use the two sudas for all of them, even 1,000. If there's not so many people, so then that's muatim. Then depending on how many there are, each one gives a gro geret. You don't need to gather together 18 gro groat between them.